Welcome to the Rock Harbor Podcast. We're so glad you've decided to tune in today. We'd love to stay connected with you, and one of the best ways to do that is through our social media platforms, at Rock Harbor TV. Also, we'd encourage you to download the Rock Harbor app. It's one of the best ways to follow along with today's teaching and the best way to stay connected with everything going on here at Rock Harbor. Thanks for tuning in.
Well, hey, welcome to 2024. Can we celebrate? It's a new year. Excited beginning again. Yeah. Well, very excited to be able to launch into a new year, and I made a New Year's resolution. I don't know if you guys have, maybe you've got one, but one of mine in particular is this. I will not purchase or use a Stanley Cup in 2024. Anybody joining me in that? Come on. Okay, amen. I feel the spirit. I'm not making eye contact currently with the girls in my house, but I will make that statement. Long live the ice cubes in the Stanley. It can be heard from zip codes away. But I will continue to use actual Stanley products. These items right here. Yes, as long as my boys aren't using them and haven't lost them and haven't left them in the hood of their car or taken them duck hunting, I will use these Stanleys. These are actual Stanleys, okay? Anyways, enough bitterness. Just getting that out. Let's start the year out right. But hey, we wanted an opportunity today to talk about next steps and beginning again. We're always saying, you know, around here, hey, take your next step. Here's the reality. There's a lot of people that are maybe new to Rock Harbor. They're new to a relationship with Jesus. Maybe you've never been to church before, but hold on. I'm going to do something I usually don't do. If you have seats next to you, would you raise your hand? If you can scoot over, would you please scoot over? If you love God and you want to make room for all of these people that are standing on the wall, raise your hand up if you got room. Raise your hand, like right up here. We got four right here. Give 4, 4, 5, 5, 5, 6, 6, 6, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7, 7. Ha, 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 right here. We got three right here. Come on, you love God. Go sit there. You're single? Hey, he's single. This is what happens when we start the service a little bit early. Some of you are like, dude, 2020, I usually have 15 minutes to kind of get in there, you know? Boom, gotcha. Busted in front of everybody. Okay, glad you're here. As I was saying, it was really, really important. I just don't know what it was. Oh, taking a next step, beginning again. There are people new. It's your first time here. You've been around a while. We want to make it very clear on how to take your next step in your walk with God and also specifically at Rock Harbor. Here it is. Dive into God's Word. When you came in today, you were given a sola scriptura. That means by Scripture alone. We want our foundation of our life to be on God's Word. We're studying through some of the Old Testament and New Testament kind of at the same time. We've been studying for three different years, three different reading plans. It's on the Bible app on your phone, and you can just look for the Rock Harbor logo. You can make Rock Harbor your church. You can follow anything that we put out there. Also, you have the paper one. It's also in our app, but we encourage you, make God's Word a foundation in your life. You're like, Keith, we started the plan 7 days ago. Hey, I'm a day behind. If you're a week behind, it doesn't take much to get caught up. Number two, download the Rock Harbor app. Why? Because there's all the resources, calendar, different things we put out there for parents. We run that through the app. It's a great way to connect. If you go on the app right now, you can fill out a next step card. Here's why that's important. For example, next week we have baptisms. Next week we're going high class. We're going to put two horse troughs on stage. Okay, and there's going to be dozens of people that are baptized, people that have come to Jesus. They've never taken that step. I talked to two 20-year-old kids that are getting baptized next week. Here's the thing. Yeah, let's celebrate that. Yeah. 801 baptisms last year here at Rock Harbor. That is incredible. 801. But it starts by saying, hey, I've surrendered my life to Jesus. And now I want to follow him in baptism. And that's exactly what takes place. So if you've never been baptized, saying, I follow Jesus, maybe you're baptized as a baby, your parents made a decision, but if you follow Jesus with your life, you've surrendered your heart to him, then do what he did and be baptized. Okay, that's next week. What you'd also see in the app is on the 21st. On the 21st, we have First Step at Rock Harbor. It's legitimately the first step here at Rock Harbor. If you're wanting to serve here, you want to find out more, you want to meet staff, you want to understand the church a little bit more, it's a smaller environment. We sit around tables, you meet other people that are stepping up to serve, other people that are in community, And so we encourage you to be there. It's on the 21st. Then also, community is important. Finding community. We have Gather and Go that's at the 1st of February. Maybe you've been in a group in the past. We encourage you to step up and step into a group. Get connected. We have men's studies and women's studies. Men, we start getting back together on Tuesdays at the 1st of February as well. Next, discover regeneration. So Regen meets on Thursday nights. It's our discipleship. Most of our staff has walked through Regen. Yes, if you have a hurt, a habit, a hang up, something that's holding you back in your life, something that's happened in your life, it's a great place to be able to grow through it, but it's also a great place to begin to understand the Bible, to memorize some scripture. That's what discipleship, maturing, growing. If Christ had disciples, we should be disciples of him. And Regen is truly where it's at. Lastly, join us every week, okay? Join us every week at one of our services. For some of you, you're here for the first time in person. We had people online saying, hey, first of the year, I'm coming for the first time ever in person. Can we just welcome people that are taking that kind of step, that find online? May find some community online, but they're here. That's incredible. If you happen to be watching online, we're really glad that you've chose to make this part of your Sunday, and maybe it's a habit for you. Maybe you live in another part of the country. We're really glad that you're here with us, and you can take next steps as well. The last thing is this. On Christmas Eve, and I just want to say thank you to the church, because the amount of people that served, we had over 200 people raise their hand that they surrendered their life to Jesus at our Christmas Eve services. So, and if that's you, if that happens to be you, or you're starting out the new year by giving your life to Jesus, anytime you let us know on that next step card, we just want to celebrate you with you, come alongside. We're not going to show up at your house with a Build-A-Bear and do a dance. But I apologize if that's something you like. But we want to be able to send you a resource, maybe a little Bible study, something that could help you. So today, we're going to be studying something that Paul wrote. Paul is a guy who wrote half of the New Testament, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and he's interesting. Paul was far from God, but then God brought him near to him in a radical way. And when Paul preaches, when Paul teaches, when Paul writes, he uses a lot of illustrations, things that make sense, okay? So there's four different things that he kind of goes towards. They all start with an A. Well, they don't, but I made them. One is the army. He will use the army. He'll say things like, put on the armor of God, and it illustrates something bigger than just simply the army. Architecture. Says your body is the temple of God in 1 Corinthians. It's architecture. There's a temple that's being built, and how do you care for a dwelling place? And the Spirit of God dwells and abides inside of you. He uses agriculture. When he says, whatever a man sows, he's also going to reap. Well, here's the thing. When he would speak in those agricultural terms, which many of us understand things about agriculture, back then, 50% of everyone was employed through agriculture. Even if you were a rancher, you had to feed your animals something. Even if you had a family, you often grew your own food because it was too expensive to simply barter or purchase things. Up until 100 years ago, over 50% of the world was involved in agriculture. Now, you know, some of you grow, you know, grapes in your backyard, or you try hard to keep your grass alive, so you put turf in. But there is still a little bit of an understanding about agriculture, so it applies. Today, I want to talk about the last one, athletics. Athletics. You know, the people that go pro and stuff, they get a lot of credit, but can we give it up for all of us that played intramurals? Came off the bench. Yeah, let's give it up. Came off the bench, you know, to bring that intramural team to three-peat. We three-peated. Small Bible college in Missouri, but we three-peated. There's a lot going on at 11:30 in the gym that doesn't get recognized at small Bible colleges around the world. So I just want to just give that little shout out. But he's speaking of athletics, Philippians 3, okay? Not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own. Press on. Because Christ, Jesus, has made me his own. There's nothing greater than hearing that. Jesus Christ has made me. There's billions of people in the world, but I've been set apart by God to know that he loves me and sent his only son for me. Verse 13, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but the one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead. I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. See, when I read this, a couple of phrases stick out to me because I'm thinking through the lens of consistency. Like, I want to start a beginning again means I want a consistent pattern. To press on, to strain forward. So first, if we're going to be consistent, we're going to have to stress on, Stress on, people. Keep being stressed out. Yeah, for God. No, press on, strain forward. Theologians don't necessarily agree on whether he's talking, when he's talking about this race in a competition, if he's talking about a foot race or if he's talking about a chariot race. I pick the chariot. You know why? Because it's cooler. That's why. And so if I'm going to think about it like being a chariot, we need to understand the type of chariots they have. Because see, many of us have seen like Gladiator, okay? I haven't because it's R, but some of you have. So they got this Gladiator kind of thing, and you think a chariot like that. Yeah, you think of the chariots that the kings were in. Well, the affordable ones and the ones in the race were a lot more small, concise, and so you've got a smaller chariot. I mean, you got to realize you're on this small little plane. It's one plane. It's two wheels. We're not talking Red Flyer wagon. We're not talking a stagecoach. We're talking two wheels. Your balance is really important. It's relying upon the horse and your own body weight, and there's not much between you and that horse, and there's not much between you and the ground. It takes a lot of faith. That's why I like this illustration, because I think a relationship with God, faith in Jesus Christ, wow, there's a lot of trust that has to be built. Do you really trust him with your life? Are you willing to strain forward, or are you tucking down? Well, if we're going to win the race, if we're going to run the race that he's set before us, and by the way, everyone has a different race. Everybody has their own race. Like, you're not running anybody else's. No, you're a charioteer. I don't even know. There's musketeers, so you might as well be a charioteer. Like, that's who you are, and it looks different. And some, you know, longer race, and some people have different talents and different giftings, but we all have a race that we're to be in, and we're to compete well. Look at that small platform you see. I mean, there's not a big area. I mean, think about this. You lean too far forward, you're going to really get to know the horse well. You lean too far backwards, you're going to get to know the ground well. It takes a balance that's there. And it takes a good balance, a good base. And it doesn't take much to tip over. I mean, you're talking two wheels, not four. Following Jesus takes faith. And running the race takes a fervent, consistent faith. You don't want to get too far ahead, but you also don't want to you don't want to go backwards. I mean, that little bit of weight shift, the horse reacts to the weight shift, not just the reins. It can feel it. So you need to be in stride. And horses have power. That's where we get horse power. So we want the most amount of power. That straining forward, that picture of kind of stretching out, leaning in trust, leaning towards what God has ahead. And how we finish the race matters, but finishing the race doesn't mean we're earning salvation. Salvation comes because you're a charioteer. Like, if you have Jesus, you're on the chariot. Like, and you're secure. You have salvation. It doesn't come by earning. It's already been paid for you. The debt of Jesus was poured out on a cross. His blood was shed. His body was broken. He rose from death so we could have life. So we can't earn it. He paid for it. So it's not about how good you are and maybe you'll be approved of at the end. It's simply resting in who God has made you to be. To run the race. To complete the race. To strain forward in the race. Because I think one of the biggest questions that I have in my life at times is how to press on when you're pressed on. How to press on when you're pressed on, when you feel like everything's coming at you, you're having a tough time maybe finding hope in some things. How do you keep pressing on? The conditions, the circumstances, the people around you. Everybody in here, in some way or another, you've wanted to quit. You've wanted to quit. I'm not just talking quitting on just a marriage, or not just talking quitting a job. I'm not just talking quitting with the finances or quit, you know, trying to go pro. And so I'm saying, like, you literally look at your life and go, is 2024, is it another year of failure? Maybe the quitting is quitting on God. It's not just a doubt or, man, I have some questions or I don't understand. Like, you've asked for something from him and it hasn't been delivered and you're like, I just want to quit. And I want to kind of flip that and just say, would you wait a second? Would you listen to the encouragement and the hope that comes from Scripture? And would you accept the challenge to begin again? And you may not be there right now and you may not get to that point. My message isn't going to get you places, but God's very Spirit can take you places that you could never even imagine. It can take you to a place of renewal you never thought you could get to. It can take you to a place of rejuvenation, a renewed vision. He truly is the healer. He really actually is living water. But it's going to take consistency. It's going to take trust even in suffering. Now, the next thing I want to say, it makes sense from an outline standpoint, but you guys are going to be like, what? And it's be consistently dissatisfied. Be consistently dissatisfied. And some of you are like, hey, no problem. I am the champion of dissatisfaction. In fact, if I could have graduated with a degree in dissatisfaction, I would have been valedictorian. And maybe that's taken it a little bit far, but think about it, a divine dissatisfaction, a holy discontent. Never, like Paul's words when he says, it's not that I've already obtained this or I'm already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus made it my own. I mean, Paul, with everything that he had done spiritually and the way that he led and the kind of person that he was, for him to say, like, I'm not there yet. I'm going to keep pressing on. I'm going to keep continuing. I'm not, like, I haven't arrived. I love what the Lord has done, but I live for what he's going to do. That's what Paul's saying here. Like, live for what God's going to do. And you may see God do some great things. So there needs to be like, wow, praise God. I'm grateful for that. But I want more of that river of flowing life and water and Spirit to fill me. I trust in his mighty righteous hand. Submission, trust. This divine dissatisfaction is essential for us to spiritually progress, for us to grow. Like, we have to lean in on that. Paul's saying, I'm not perfect, but he shows maturity by saying, I'm willing to be evaluated, not just by myself. I want to be evaluated by God. See, when we self-evaluate, like, we can be poor evaluators of our charioteering. We can evaluate ourselves poorly because, see, if we see ourselves better, we got to be careful because Scripture says, take heed lest you fall. See yourself better than you are, take heed lest you fall. But then if we see ourselves worse than we are, then what are we doing? We're forgetting that we're overcomers in Christ. We're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. So a God evaluation purpose, why when you came in there was communion, we're going to be receiving it later, it's always a God evaluation. Like the whole point of preaching and teaching and sharing Scripture is for each one of us. Yes, there is a corporate side to worship, but personal worship, personal surrender, personal repentance to God who's righteous, who's faithful, who's just, who forgives, who's gracious. His Spirit speaks. That's what we need, and that's what communion is. It's like, create in me a clean heart, O God. Reveal to me, I want a God evaluation in my life. But we have to bring our hearts before God. What do you really long for? What do you long for in life? What brings you satisfaction in life? Because in Psalm 42, it says, a deer that pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. Do you long? Does your soul pant and wait upon the Lord? Is willing to go, I mean, you're talking dozens of miles that an animal or a deer will travel in order to get to water. My soul thirsts for you, O God, for the living God. That discontentment, are you discontent and sick of what the world has offered? What it's promised and underdelivered? If you do this, if you do that, this is going to make you happy. Like, there's got to be, like, it's a new year. Like, just literally be done with some things. Be done with some things that distract you. Be done with some things that create pain. Be done with some things that it's just busyness. Be dissatisfied with chasing those things that may end at nothing, that's going to impact anything for eternity. We've got to be dissatisfied to the point like, I want my soul to long for the things of God. I want the fresh living water. In order to do that, I've got to be devoted. Be consistent. Be consistently dissatisfied. Be consistently devoted. Like devoted, like I want to follow him. Verse 13, I do not consider that I've made it my own, but the one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. Four extremely convicting words there. One thing I do. One thing, not five things, one thing I do. Maybe that's the message today for some. What's your one thing? What deserves your focus? What deserves your appetite? What deserves your attention? What will impact eternity? What gets the best of you? Are they eternal things? Or are they temporary things? What gets your very best? The one thing I do. Last week when we were online, I shared that too many Christians are involved in too many things all too often. I amen myself because no one else said anything back to me when I was looking at that camera. Not one, not even the camera guy. He was scrolling, updating his Instagram. It's fine. He's been fired since. But I'm kidding. He's gainfully employed somewhere else. But all that to say, I have ADD. And so do some of you. And so did Paul probably. He had all these other things going on. He's got all these different things. But to say the one thing I do, there's one thing that matters most, and I'm going to chase that for the rest of my life. There's one thing. Do you have a personal mission statement? Do you have a personal goal? Is there a word for the year? Is there something that, a word for life that the Lord has placed upon your heart? As a church, we have a mission statement. It's rooted in the fact that all that matters is loving God. Loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And out of that, we'll love other people. So when we say to love and lead one another, to be devoted followers of Jesus, what it means is to be. The goal is to be a devoted follower of Jesus. That's the goal. And from that, we love God, which means we're going to love people. It's a natural overflow. We're going to stir up one another to be devoted. And there's nothing, nothing in this life worth more than following Jesus. When it all shakes out, as great as family, and there's nothing greater than Jesus. As great as being able to work, and as great as entertainment, and great as nature, and enjoying God's creation. Like, there's nothing, church, one another, there's nothing greater than Christ. He's worthy of following. He's worthy of chasing after and longing for and wanting to be filled up with him. See, there's a secret to power, and it's concentration. It was February 7th of 2020, and I-84 flooded. Does anybody remember when I-84 flooded? 123 miles of freeway were closed. You're like, wow, that's random, Keith. How do you know it flooded? Well, it's because my wife and my son were trying to go to Yakima. That's how I knew. They get there and they're like, honey, by the way, to get to Yakima, Washington, first off, you can't get home fast enough. Let's just be honest. It's where my in-laws live. And I love it. I love it. I love it. They produced a great girl. I married her. She's never went back. Takes about 5 hours if I'm driving, 5.5 if she is. And so that being said, you know, it's a direct route. Unless the freeway closes because of a flood, then you have to go through John Day, Oregon. God bless John Day. I've never met John. He's pretty boring, in my opinion. They named a really weird place after him. But then you head up north from there. I'm talking to her. I'm looking at a map, and she's like, is there a faster way? I'm like, oh, no. And she's like, I can't look down, and I'm trying to. And there's tons of people, and they're rerouting traffic everywhere. They just made a swamp. 123 miles. 54 people were rescued. All of a sudden, like what was a river, when the snow melt happened, it got abnormally warm. Why would we not expect something? Because a month later, the world was going to shut down. But anyways, if I knew then what I know now. It shuts down. Amen. I heard that. I quote a country song, and you say amen. I preach the Bible. No one says anything. Anyways. I wish I didn't know now what I did know then. Amen, Pastor Keith, I love our church. Yeah. And Jesus said, quiet. Back to the flood. And I'm not talking about Noah's flood. All of a sudden, the water melts off the mountain. It's abnormally cold. It's raining. And the river loses its concentration. When we drive by it now, I'm always like, hey, hon, this is where the flood was. And she's like, you literally say that every time. Is there any husbands in here that you say something every time you see something and you're going to say it till the day you die? Amen. Amen. Let's keep, because there's a lot of things that aren't true in this world, but we can be true. And so I'll be like, hey, this, and the corn stalks floating up to the road, and there's fence posts like kind of laid over. I'm like, it's right here, it's right here. It became a swamp. See, our life is supposed to be a river that's concentrated, and with that concentration comes power. There's power in priorities. And look at your life. Look what we can do with actual water to create power to fuel and equip entire communities. But instead, we live kind of this, not one thing I do, but a bunch of things that I do, and our lives look like a swamp. Keith, are you saying that if I don't narrow my priorities, my life's a swamp? I didn't say that, but I need to hear that, because my life can feel like a swamp, because I have a lot of different things, and you don't really know where the water's gonna go, and you don't know what to do with all these things. And you have to take the long way around things because you have so many things. But to get a little bit more minimalistic in your life and narrowing our focus and having the one thing I do. The one thing I do. Because you're going to steer where you stare. Think about it. You're going to steer where you stare. And if you look back, it says we're not supposed to. We're supposed to have this concentrated focus, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead. But when we look backwards, where does it take the car? I witnessed this as a kid firsthand, and I mean hand, when my mom would try to spank me from the front seat. She spanked with the right, the car went right. She spanks with the left, the car goes left, every time. We do the same thing in our life. We start looking different directions. And it takes us that way because that's what the world has to show us. And that's what our friends and people that we're even in like biblical community with and do life with. And we just like chase after these things. And most of it isn't eternal. It's temporary. So that one thing I do, I don't want to look backwards. And Jesus warned us and said, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. And some of you are looking back because you're consumed with the past. You're looking back because you're consumed with the past. You don't feel worthy. You got guilt. There's been something that's happened. There's shame that's come on you. And for whatever reason, you're trying to go this way, but man, your mind is stuck back there. It's like you got your eyes trained, but your mind is back here. And God is saying, like, strain forward. Like, there's an upward call of God that's placed before us. Trust me, have the wide base and foundation that's God's word that never changes, that he's preserved it for us, and he's going to be faithful. What he says comes true, and we have a foundation, so lean forward on that foundation to all that's ahead to finish the race, to be consistently devoted to that. Because there's some events in your past, and there's some events in my past, but they don't have to have the same meaning as they intended when they happened. They can take on a new understanding. We can take on a new understanding. They can have a new meaning. We give too much authority and too much power for it. We can break the power of our past by focusing on the future. As followers of Jesus, we're to be future-oriented. We're supposed to be looking towards the author and the finisher of our faith. We're to be looking toward eternity, awaiting the fact that Jesus Christ is coming back, not looking how we failed Jesus in the past. Can we learn from those things? Absolutely. But we've got to press forward. There are events that literally have happened, and suffering or pain, choices other people made that you have encountered, you've endured, and they can take on a different meaning. 2019 was a pretty tough year for our family. My wife and I, we've been married 25 years at this time, but back then it was 21. We have 7 kids. We have 1 in heaven, we have 1 in Ethiopia, and we have 5 in our house. Back then, we had 5 teenagers at Mountain View High School. And we didn't even get a discount. We had free lunch, nothing. Free activity card. I think we paid to support every sports program there. And it's weird about teenagers because they have opinions. And you're like, have you not read the Bible? Honor your father and mother and the Lord, for this is right. You're going to live long. They have opinions. And we're all grieving the son that we lost and the brother that we lost. To lose a child to suicide in your own home is really hard to come back from. But Sunday is coming. And you have church. And even though you have good biblical community around you, you've got to be ready. And you just got to get over these kind of things. And so when you don't deal with trauma or you're dealing with it as best as you know, but you feel like you should be better, and then you've got anxiety or depression or things that are coming in, you're like, what is going on? And is Satan trying to kill us? And oh, and then amazing, but also challenging, a church doubles in size. We break ground on a building. And it's all good, but then you look at it and go, Lord, like, this is a lot. So we took steps as a family to go to Re-Engage. My wife and I doing the marriage ministry and getting counseling and trauma therapy and let's talk through things. And those things that, yes, there were events in our past that were hard and painful and difficult. Oh, it's a testimony now. They don't have the same meaning now. They don't have the same meaning because people look at a church like this and they're like, wow, you were allowed to not be perfect. You were allowed to not be okay, but have a goal of not staying not okay. You were allowed to deal with depression as a pastor. That's okay. You're working through some situational based stuff. It's okay. We love you. We're here with you. I tell you that because we got a chance to begin again. And we don't always give ourselves that grace to begin again, but I think that some people need to hear that today. Like, this is a place of grace, and it better be a place of grace because he's a person of grace. He's a God of grace, and he sent his only son who was grace, who was the payment for us. And some of you need to begin again. You need a fresh start. You need to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. You need to start fresh with a relationship with him. Because if you look at your life, there are some you're not living for God, and there's not evidence that you have a relationship with Christ. And you're clinging on to something that happened 20 years ago, or you're a kid, or you're saying things like, I've always been a Christian. And I want to tell you, if you've never come before the Lord, and you've never confessed your sin, and you never say, it is your life, it's not mine anymore, you may not, and most likely do not have a relationship with Jesus. So that's how you begin again. And if it's been all about earthly focuses, if you're talking about, like, you realize if you're on that chariot and you're kind of riding and all you're talking about, yeah, we used to serve. We used to be in a community group and a small group and at my old church and my old pastor and like we used to do, man, we were generous. And you're like, where the heck is that chariot going? Because all you're talking about, we're just straying forward. So it's not simply volunteering. It's not simply giving sacrificially. It's living for eternity. So I'm going to strain forward because there's nothing more important than being in a proper, secure, faith-filled position and chasing after God until Jesus comes back or until he calls us home. That is the place to be. That's the position to be. That's the best thing. Yes, you can look back and remember and go, there were some great times, but I live for the ones that are ahead. There were some great moments that God showed up and there were some tough things, but I live for what he's doing. I'm living for eternity because not everybody knows Jesus. Not everybody understands that there's hope in Christ. Not everyone understands that they can begin again. But the event you experience and you come to them and say, I don't have it all together. I haven't been perfect. I've failed. I've fallen short. But God. But grace. Wow. There's nothing like it. Yes, it's an event, but it can hold a completely different meaning. And it can bring honor and glory to Him. And let's lean forward and let's await. There's a day that He's coming back. And there's a day that we're going to go and we're going to see Him. So until that day, I want to live for eternity. So what I do in this life matters. There are consequences to the way we live this life. And there are rewards. And the Bible talks about it. And it's for eternity. Let's live for those things. Any reward that we get here on this earth, it's ours. We got it. But it doesn't last for eternity unless it's for Him. Would you consistently chase after Him? Would you be devoted to Him? Would you be dissatisfied with some of those things that, and like, I need a narrow focus. I'm so dissatisfied with being distracted by everything. But I want to discipline myself. I want to lean forward to the fullness of what He has for me. That's what it means to begin again. As we have this opportunity to receive communion, this is where I step away, and it's between you and the Lord. It's not my words, it's God's words. You know what communion is? It's really a chance to remember. Remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. That's why He says, do this upon remembrance of me. It's also an opportunity to repent, because for some, repent for salvation. As I shared, today's going to be the day of salvation for some. And today is also going to be a day where someone repents and is made right with God because they've kind of slipped away. But we're starting fresh. Communion's also a time where we recommit and we say, I'm beginning again. I understand you poured your body and your blood out for me. You died on a cruel cross, but you rose from the dead. I remember that sacrifice that was made, and I want to live for that. There's an opportunity for you to receive the bread and the cup. And you can do so anytime during this song. But it's between you and God. Psalm says this, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there are any grievous ways in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Let Him search your heart this morning.
Well, hey, we believe in next steps, and we'd love to help you take yours. So over the last few minutes, maybe you felt the Lord has called you to something new, whether that's prayer, a conversation, or meeting a need specifically. We'd encourage you to DM us on a social media channel or email us at info@rockharbor.tv. Thanks for being here.